We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. You know, the last call we had right before, and Arlene, I don't know if you're still listening, but I'm glad you called in. But I wanted to point out that same sort of feeling that Arlene has is part of the reason why we jumped to conclusions for this Covington Catholic High School kids. There's a snippet of a definitely edited video on only a certain part for one part of the side to be shown. And we all jump on these kids, these children who were confronted by grown adults, yelled all kinds of different slurs, homophobic slurs, racial slurs, some really vile things. And on top of that, we have adults that are coming up to them and banging things in their face and trying to confront them where they stand. And everyone said it had to have been the kids' faults because they were wearing Make America Great Again hats. That's where we are. There is so much hatred out there that it clouds better judgment and it brings out the worst in a lot of people. And a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, large majority of the time, it's unwarranted. And it's a lot of criticism going to Donald Trump just because of the hatred that's already there and exists. It's something that hasn't, you know, and one of the points she said was that I wasn't like this before. Well, no, I think there was something in you that came up and I don't know what it is, but it did. And I think a lot of people are able to justify the things they disagree with the president on, but there's a whole different level out there of hate towards Republicans right now or anyone that would even wear a shirt. They're being yelled at and called racist or hateful for wearing a Trump t-shirt or a hat. I mean, that's the point. That's where we are right now. It's a whole different level. Let me get to Charlie over in Rockford. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just listening to you guys.
I'm surprised you're still upright. You haven't hurt yourself with all the snow shoveling and things like that?
No.
Good.
No. We just got some over the weekend, and I peeked out there. It's a little bit, so I just slid down the driveway with the shovel. No problem.
All right. I'm glad you're doing all right. Because last time we spoke, I remember you said you had some procedure done and you're still out there shoveling. I was worried about you.
Yeah. No, I'm doing good.
Good. All right. So what's going on?
Well, I tried to tell your screener how the lady called in and you were saying how kind of angry she was at about the kid bringing his...
It was a guy that was bringing a... He was working out in a shirt that said Trump and was asked not to work out
well,
there anymore because of it.
Wrong with that? They had Kennedy, Nixon, they had them all.
What do you mean, what's wrong with
shirts
what?
And,
oh, what's wrong with his shirt? There's nothing wrong with wearing a shirt, I don't think, at least.
No. But the one thing that got me was that one kid telling the Indian... Or that Indian guy with everyone gathered around him. You didn't see that, did you?
What, the thing on the weekend? What do you mean? That's what we're talking about, the Covington Catholic High School kids?
Yeah.
So what's your... Hold on. Maybe this will be a good opportunity, Charlie. So tell me what you know about that.
Well, I just read bits and pieces of it. I didn't hear it all.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what you do know about it.
Well, the way the guy was standing there and facing the native Indian and saying things, I couldn't quite get it all. And then,
So what's your take on that?
Well, why can't anybody just say what they want to say without stirring everybody up?
So do you know how that has, the story has changed since the original reporting of that? Are you familiar with what happened?
No.
Okay, so this will be a good opportunity to kind of put my point into perspective. So everyone jumped onto these kids because there was a clip that went viral online where this Native American activist went and was standing in front of a bunch of high school students that were there for the March for Life. And they were saying that they were surrounding them. They were being aggressive, yelling at them, confronting them, doing all of these things. What ended up happening after that event on Friday, people immediately said they're so disrespectful, they're entitled, they're racist for wearing the Make America Great Again hats. And there was people going as far as saying that someone needs to show up to their school and light it on fire. There's people up there saying they need to be put into wood chippers. There's people out there saying that we need to, you know, physically harm them and their families. It got totally out of control. Eventually, there was so many phones out there, all the videos started to surface and people watched the videos. And this is what they found out. There was a group there and they were from a high school, 15, 16, 17 year olds, waiting for the bus to pick them up. They were on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. There was another group out there, the Black Israelites, and they're a group that was yelling some pretty terrible profane, I mean, like real homophobic slurs. They were yelling things like, you know, your future school shooters. And they were saying things I couldn't repeat on here, but we're talking about extremely vile things. And the kids were on the steps and they were just waiting to get picked up from the bus. And as these people were yelling this hateful thing, like, you know, I mean, it was like really weird, bizarre stuff. Like they were yelling things. There was part of these high schoolers, there were some that were Black. In the Hebrew, the Black Israelites were yelling things like, they're going to kill you and harvest your organs. Like, they were saying things like that. It was really weird stuff. So as a group, the high school kids started yelling some of their cheers, their high school marching cheers or whatever it was, things that they would normally do at a rally because they wanted to drown out all the things that were being yelled at them. At that point, the Native American group came in with their activists, and they went to where the kids were, which, by the way, were stationary this whole time, and walked to the front of the line where they were waiting to get picked up by a bus. And he comes in and starts banging drums in the kids' faces until he eventually stops at one kid and sings and bangs his drum inches away from this kid's face. And all the kid did was he was just waiting in line and was standing there and was watching the guy do that. And that was the only part that was shown. They weren't, by the way, these high school kids were not confronting this Native American group. They weren't yelling at this Native American group. They weren't disrespectful to the Native American group. They were literally just standing there. However, the way it was reported and the way they spun it, they made it look like these kids were terrible human beings. It was completely, completely reported out of context to the point where they are lawyered up and they're going to sue anyone that hasn't retracted a story so far. And I think they are right to do so. Everyone that has come out, and a lot of legitimate journalists have all came out and said, we got this completely wrong. We've apologized. Some of the news organizations even are trying to find more ways to justify the way that they're bringing this up, like the Today Show. And I'll talk about this later in the show. But my point is, Charlie, if you only saw that first part, you never saw a follow-up story, you would think that there was a bunch of high school kids that were terribly disrespectful, racist, and vile to this group of Native Americans. But as it turns out, that was all a complete lie made up, and it was perpetrated by the media that didn't do any background check on this. They did no due diligence. They just ran with something because the kids were wearing a Make America Great Again hat. They assumed it was all true.
Well, thank you for bringing me up to date because, yeah, I just seen bits and pieces. Couldn't quite figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to this story. And I don't want to say everyone, but almost everyone has apologized and backtracked. There's a few that haven't yet, like the Wall Street Journal. There's a journalist for the Wall Street Journal. No, not Wall Street Journal. New York Times, excuse me. That is right. Someone that is in high position on the New York Times that still has yet to delete some of these terrible tweets that they put out. I mean, celebrities were out there. I mean, literally, there was one celebrity that said that he wanted to throw those kids in a wood chipper, red hat first. I mean, that's how vile some of these things and tweets have been. There was one, there was a writer for Saturday Night Live that said, I will perform sex acts on anyone that punches these kids in the face. I mean, that's the type of vile messaging that was going on social media. And it was all because it was reported maliciously wrong. And it was just it's a terrible example.
Well, on another note, I told your screener, if I could, I'd write an article, but it wouldn't get published, on how everybody in the federal government that's laid off until they get the deal made are hollering that they're running out of money.
Yeah. Say that again. You'd write an article about?
About all the federal workers from the airlines and you name it, that are hollering that they're running out of money because Trump and them can't get their deal done.
Mm-hmm. So you want to write about the people that are hollering?
Yeah.
What about?
And he tells me, well, some of them don't have the choice.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, well, some of them are working. But still, they're hollering that they should have it done so they can go back to work.
Hmm. Just write an article. You can submit articles, letter to the editor. I'm sure where you're at in Minnesota, just submit it to the local paper.
Yeah.
See if they do it. Just give it a try.
Yeah.
Put your thoughts down.
Well, they told a lot of, or some of the workers, you go back to work with no pay, and they don't like that.
Yeah. Well, they'll get back pay.
I thought to myself, huh?
They'll get back pay when it opens back up. But by the way, they will. And by the way, the Republicans even put something down to get the at least first paycheck out to these people, and it was turned down. No Democrats wanted it. Well, there was like 10 Democrats that signed on to it. Not enough in the House, by the way.
Right, but look at, we've had that done before, and nobody made a big deal, and then they went back to work and got their paychecks, and everybody was happy.
Yeah. All right, Charlie, good to hear from you. We got to get to break here, but thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you take it easy down there.
No, you take it easy. I don't want you hurting yourself out there.
Well, I'll do that.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, so that was a good example. So Charlie only saw the initial report that came out on like Saturday morning or whatever it was before it was completely debunked. Isn't that a great example of how this fake news reporting could spread and get people's opinions changed so quickly? They don't get the chance to see the follow-up, even in cases where they're extremely well-publicized. Wow. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. All right, 1:22 here in St. Louis. Can you feel it? It's already Thursday. Wow. Let me get to Arthur, who's calling in. Hey, what's going on?
Yes, I heard your broadcast last night about with your interview with Mr. Shapiro.
Right.
And I'd like to comment that he never bothered to say anything about money. When it comes to elections in campaign finances, and I feel like that's a very important part of elections. And I have an idea how to make elections more fair so that an average person has a chance to win an election.
Okay, well, before you say that, let me just speed everyone else up. So yesterday we had a Yale professor by the name of Ian Shapiro, and he had a book out that talks about grassroots efforts and how he thinks it's dangerous for I guess elections in general or democracy in general. So his idea was normally during the midterm elections, some of the more fringe candidates get onto a ballot and win because there's less participation. So he says fringe candidates through grassroots efforts getting in on midterm elections where there's less people voting is not what we should be doing, and he proposed that there's a bunch of other things we could be doing in order to prevent that from happening. So, Arthur, so what's your ideas?
All right. Well, as you might know, in the Supreme Court decision of Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, the Supreme Court basically said that campaign contributions are free speech, and therefore they can't be limited. But yet, a lot of people are trying to limit campaign contributions. And I have an alternative idea that will work, and it won't go against this Supreme Court decision. What you do is you have everybody people can contribute all the money they want, but it has to be in 60 days before the election. And then 30 days before the election, you have to post all the contributions on the internet so that everybody can see who contributed the money. And then people can just get on the internet and see who contributed the money, and if they don't like who contributed the money to a candidate, they don't have to vote for them. It's a simple idea, and then you could have election commissions in charge of the website where you go to check on the contributions.
Well, outside of the time frame you're mentioning, how's that different than what we're doing now? Because this, a lot of it is publicly documented and shown, where who, you know, which politicians and what campaigns receive money from who.
Well, the problem with that is, first of all, a lot of money comes in after the election's over. People give money, they write a check and backdate it to Friday before the election, and they write it on Wednesday after the election. And they want to give money to the winner, so they wait till after the election's over, and then they decide who won, and then they give their money, and that way they got influence.
So you're saying that there should be a cutoff point where people have to stop donating, that way there will be more transparency in the donations that come in?
Right, exactly.
Oh.
If you have all the money in 60 days before the election, and then the money gets compiled and reported on the internet 30 days before the election, then the candidates have a chance to point out to their constituents who gave the money to the other guy. So if Exxon and Big Oil gives a lot of money to one candidate, then the other candidate can say, well, look at this. This guy is Big Oil all the way.
So let's see what happens in the case of super PACs. So people are donating to a super PAC as opposed to the candidate as a way to get around that. So you wouldn't? Would you cut off that money too to any political donation?
Right. Well, what you'd have to do with the super PACs is you have to make the super PACs list where all their money comes from, so that they can't hide it.
Interesting. I don't know if that would work. I mean, it's kind of tough to tell a candidate if they're running for office that you can't accept donations 60 days before, you know, a full 2 months before the actual election, and you're just going to have to live on what you got, which I guess would, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they would be able to just stop taking donations if people want to still give them money. I don't know how that would work.
Well, anyway, the idea is that the way it is now, nobody knows where the money's coming from. They see an ad on TV, and it's just an idiotic ad, and it gets paid for, and it's 30 seconds long, and it's insulting to people's intelligence. And people should have a right to know who's paying for these ads. The Supreme Court ruled that campaign contributions are free speech, but yet it's like they're giving the free speech rights to a ventriloquist, and then the dummy is doing the talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody knows where the money's coming from.
All right.
The voters should have a right to know where the money's coming from for elections. And it'd be a lot simpler than trying to limit the campaign contributions, I think.
Okay. Thanks, Arthur. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we do now. All of that's documented. I mean, there's a lot that comes out after the fact, and they continue to investigate. And if there's anything that's logged incorrectly or put in incorrectly, they have to go back and fix that sort of thing. I think we do a really good job, but we just don't know that close to an election, actual election date, what some of those donors maybe donating or if they gave too much or too whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that'll help it. I don't think that'll fix things. Of course, transparency is always a good thing. You know, coming up, I wanted to ask a question to you about potholes in the area. There was a story on Fox 2 about what they call tire-eating potholes. Have you seen a lot around here? Because honestly, I think here in the St. Louis region, potholes aren't that bad. Right now, I haven't seen that many, at least on the drives I've been around. I don't see any tire-eating potholes. Or maybe you've witnessed a few you'd like to give a fair warning to. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, boy. Very, very chilly. I got a couple of things. I got a very good whole nother story we can play here from Kevin Colleen. Got a couple of car stories for you, though. Are there any particularly bad areas with potholes right now? In Collinsville, Fox 2 was out there as they were describing what they call a tire-eating pothole. Tire-eating. Man, that sounds serious. A pothole emergency popped up on 255 near 64 outside of Collinsville morning. And that was only the beginning, they said. Here, listen how they describe this thing.
For the most part, from when the interstate was built back in the mid-80s. So it is a rough go from here all the way south to the JB Bridge. And drivers say the one that opened up this morning was Mammoth on southbound 255. Just north of 64.
You know, when they say it's Mammoth, they need to come up with a name like they name certain storms. Like, what would this pothole's name be? Like, Bertha.
Causing at least six flats right away.
Oh.
Now, that was before 6:30 this morning. IDOT workers got out quickly to do a temporary patch, but they're having trouble keeping up on 255. Drivers liken it to an obstacle course with new tire eaters seeming to open up daily. This pothole season has been especially bad.
Oh, here she comes. She's a tire eater. It's a Hauling Oats song. Man, that'd be a good remake.
With recent snowfalls, heavy, all the plowing, treating, then a deep freeze followed by steady rain overnight. The more than 30-year-old pavement is simply crumbling. The manager of a Collinsville tire shop tells me,
business is great. No, what does he say?
He had at least 25 flats on Monday alone.
I wonder
two days before this morning's Big Kahuna, which...
Oh, Big Kahuna. That's the name. Is that what they're naming these potholes? The Big Kahuna. Watch out for it on 255 near 64. Yeah, I have a lot of sympathy. That's terrible. You drive in trying to mind your own business. You just want to get through the day, and the last thing you need is, oh, I don't know, a giant pothole named Big Bertha eating up and chewing up your tire and spitting it right out. Yeah. Yeah, Big Bertha steps in. Oh, Scott calling in from Crystal City. Hey, Scott, what's going on?
Good morning, sir. I saw that story, the Big Kahuna. It's like hamster-sized snowflakes. See, they got us a name for everything.
Oh, I know. And you know, just on a side note before you say your thing, when I was living in Michigan, there were so many potholes because the roads are in terrible condition still to this day. This is what they were asking for. They were asking for people to donate old computers so they could use them to help fill the potholes. No joke. That's how desperate they were to try to fill some of these. It's insane. All right, so go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I can understand that certain areas there's in the country, but taking the trip from Jefferson County to, like, St. Louis City or whatnot, it's not like you're going over. You're right. I haven't noticed any huge, gigantic Big Berthas anywhere on the major thoroughfares and stuff. I know there's some bridges down here in Jefferson County that have been old and that are in disrepair and... Mm-hmm. There's some potholes, you know, but it's been crumbling infrastructure for years, you know.
Areas. The bridges are a major concern.
It's not like this just popped up all of a sudden, and it seemed like they were showing the same area there. It was the same newscast I saw where they were talking about the dangerous intersection where they needed stoplights and they needed to restructure the whole thing. And the problem with that is, and they talk about it, and you're right, the tire company, of course, they were talking about it, licking their chops. Yeah. No, we don't really want to do this story because we're making a fortune here off this Big Bertha they keep running over. But the thing is that you have people complain about that. You know, they want to fix all the potholes. They don't want anything bad happening to their tires and stuff. And just realize in the St. Louis area with the bridges we've had, you know, the smaller bridges or the side roads like on Highway DB or FF or whatever, then it's going to take a while to fix. It's going to cost a lot of money, but people want that fixed because they care more about their cars than letting the government fund a wall, which is a giant pothole, that's causing more damage to the people in this country than one big bertha that you have to use. You know where it's at, and you can drive around it or reroute your trip.
Yeah.
But, you know, they shut down these roads for a while, and it seems like people just go absolutely insane
yeah.
if they're fixing an area of road or a stretch of road. Look at these guys. What are they doing? They're just standing there. They're not... How much is this going to cost us, you know? But they can run a story about that. But you fund a wall for $25 million. $25 million won't even fix half of what's wrong with Jefferson County's infrastructure.
Oh, they need a lot of money. Well, the governor at least has a plan. I think they're trying to talk about taking some bonds out. What I think the ultimate strategy is to take the bonds out now, and then when the federal government comes around and finds better funding for infrastructure, mm-hmm. they'll be able to use some of that money that'll be afforded to the state of Missouri to pay it off. But they want to get a head start on it, which I don't blame them. I mean, you want to take and get it done sooner than later.
That.
You know, I got another idea. I'm just going to run this by you. Instead of a pothole named Big Bertha, if we're going to name big holes, how about we name one Cronky?
Cronky would be a good one.
Cronky hole, yeah.
Cronky hole, yeah. You go way back, man. I remember driving over that Bing Divine hole when I was younger. You know, Mike Keenan.
Oh, gutter, man.
You know, just name them after people that have just
lost
St. Louis in one way or another. All the way back.
Good to hear from you, Scott. Thanks for calling in.
Right.
Wow. Cronky hole. Yeah, that's pretty good. Tire-eating potholes. Hold on. They actually talked to a worker in this story from Fox 2.
Just by the way, IDOT workers have just finished a more permanent fix on that one.
All right, so they're talking about the Big Bertha.
We were able to saw it out, square it up, and roll in our high-performance cold mix. So it wasn't cheap. Anytime you take two lanes, the safety devices that you have to have. But, you know, we're not talking, a budget crippler by any means. It needed to be done, and safety's paramount.
I like the way this guy talks. He threw so many different slogans and slang in there. Listen.
We were able to saw it out, square it up.
Saw it out and square it up. It's like cowboy talk.
And roll in.
Saw it up, square it up, and roll it in.
High-performance cold mix. So it wasn't cheap. Anytime you take two lanes, the safety devices that you have to have. But, you know, we're not talking, a budget crippler by any means.
Ain't no budget crippler. I like that. He has cowboy talk. That's what I want. I want to interview guys like that. That's what I like. You know, there was one other thing, too. I saw this online, and this is mostly for the people that are listening to the east of St. Louis. So if you're in Illinois, or even better, you're listening in Indiana, where Rich could be listening right now, there's a new bill that's aimed to curb smoking in the car when you have kids in there. You can get fined $1,000, upwards of $10,000, if you smoke in a vehicle where a kid's inside. Do you think that's the right thing to do? $1,000 fine for smoking when a kid's inside the car? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Oh, surprise producer didn't put in that Boston song. Smoking. Proposed Indiana law would make it illegal to smoke with your kids in the car. A new bill aimed at curbing smoking could make it illegal to light up, according to Fox 59 in Indianapolis. So it was brought up by a couple of different representatives there. They put it as a Class B infraction. And anyone under the age of 6 is in the car and you smoke, you can get a fine of $1,000. If you get 3 fines, that's a Class A infraction. Your fine then goes up to $10,000. It's a good idea. 314-436-7900 is the number. Gene in Wentzville. Hey, Gene, what's going on?
Well, it's a great idea. It sounds good on paper. Okay, so you're smoking, you get caught, you got 3 little kids in the car. Is it $3,000? And do the kids get the money, or does it go towards the Paul Bunyan of pothole filling? Where does the money go?
Just where any fine goes, I guess. It's just there. They take it in, and you never know.
Right, so like Arthur called in a while ago, the money goes here. Who knows where it goes? Who cares? Who finds out? Everybody's going to get what they want except the little peon like you and me. So you know. And besides, the three kids that are being cooped up in the smoke, they're all running a vape pipe anyway. So
They're under the age of six. They better not be vaping. But what happens inside the house, too? You know, they're smoking in the car. They're probably smoking in the house. So how does that change things?
And in the boys' room.
Smoking in the boys' room, too. $10,000, you think someone will get the message? Does that seem a little extreme, by the way, getting fined 10 grand for smoking?
Well, if it's if they're doing it, they don't give a rat's butt anyway. If they're doing it in the, you know, most of them that I see, at least the window's cracked. I mean, I've never smoked. I wouldn't anyway. If one or both parents smoke, it's 10 times more likely the kids are going to smoke. I mean, if that's not enough, you got no business having kids in the first place, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, and what a lousy way to treat those kids, too. If you're going to be smoking in a small quarter like a vehicle while they're in there, that's pretty lousy to them.
So why not write them up for child abuse and send them to court for that? And maybe that'll have even a stronger impact, you know, take the kids away or something, you know. The $1,000 fine, if they're affording $5-6 a pack for the cigarettes and they're driving down the highway with the three kids in their car, they really don't care anyway.
Yeah. And plus, I do want to point out, imagine they're driving to school or something in the morning. How many times do you think teachers can smell that on a kid when they walk in? I wonder, because when growing up, I don't remember ever smelling another kid smelling like cigarette smoke. But I wonder how frequent that's now.
Yeah, who knows? I feel sorry for the ones that work in the casinos, but you know what? They chose to work there, and they know the rules, and everybody blows it right in their face.
You know, at least in the casinos, they have the giant fans that'll suck that stuff up. I mean, at least they have some ventilations, but you can't really get that inside of a car. You know, it's just not the same.
I want to go to the casino you go to, and the ones I go to there, everybody seems like I sit down with smokes.
Are you going to those casinos like on, was it like vacation? What was the one vacation where they go to
the local ones.
Oh, I see. Remember that movie Vacation? Chevy Chase goes to that off-brand casino. They're playing paper, rock, scissors, and guess the number and stuff.
What number am I thinking of? You were so close.
All right, good to hear from you, Gene. Thanks.
Yep, you too. Thanks.
I can't say I go to casinos, but when I used to go to casinos, I understand that they built these things with giant ventilation in them just so that people can smoke inside and be able to get it out of the way very quickly. Have you ever been inside of a bingo hall where they allow smoking? Now, that is pretty much, you walk into that hall, the first thing you get is a face full of it. It's this wall of smoke. Ugh. I don't have a problem finding adults that are smoking in a car when there's kids inside. That's a terrible thing for the kid. And why are you putting that kid in that situation, too? If you really care about that kid, you wouldn't be doing this. If you really cared about that kid and the kid's health and its well-being, which should be the utmost importance for you, there shouldn't be anything more important than providing and loving and making sure that kid's healthy. So why would you put the kid's health at risk? Why would you make that kid sick? Why would you even have the potential for that kid to get some sort of terrible disease? You know, I know it's secondhand smoke. Some people argue, it's only secondhand smoke. It doesn't matter. Well, no, it does. It does matter. You know, cut that stuff out. Seriously. Wait until the kid's not in the car when you do it. And if for some reason you can't contain yourself, you got to find a way to, you know, pick a technique, get a patch, get a gum, get chew. I don't care. Just stop it. There's one other thing, another thing about stopping it. This is pretty bad. And I'm starting to really like this one sound clip.
Stop it.
So if you're someone that's doing a gender reveal party, it's gone out of control. People online will post these videos of these gender reveal parties. And what they'll do, and the idea and the spirit of these videos, are to get everyone excited about letting you know if they're going to have a boy or a girl. And they have to do something elaborate in order to let you know. Some people will put confetti into a balloon and they'll pop the balloon and, oh, that'll be great. Some people have a box and they open it up and then a bunch of balloons of a certain color pop out. Oh, then, you know, just wonderful. Some people will have little, like, you know, those little party poppers with a certain color and everyone will go crazy. Some people will do cakes. Cakes are pretty popular. You go into a bakery and you say, I want to do a gender reveal party. And the color of the cake, if it's blue for boy or pink for girl, surprise me. If we're going to have a boy or a girl inside of this little envelope, don't tell me what it is, but bake the cake. And then when we cut into it, we'll know what we have. You know, I've talked to people that don't want to know if they have a boy or a girl. I think that is nuts myself. my wife and I, when we were having our kid, we couldn't wait till the day we found out if we were having a boy or a girl. And you know what? I knew we were having a boy right away. I just had that sort of feeling. And it's funny. My wife was, she wanted to do all those old tricks that she read online. She's like, oh, we're gonna tie a washer to a piece of fishing string, and then we're gonna hold it over my belly, and if it turns one way, it's a boy, and turns the other way, it's a girl. You know, she's doing all these old tales that mean nothing, but she was really anxious. She wanted to find out before the doctors knew. So we go and find out, and everything was great, and we start talking about it. We're like, well, should we have not have known? Would it have been better if we just didn't find out? Like, no, absolutely not. I mean, we want to know what to buy ahead of time. We want to know what type of decorations and what we're going to do to the bedroom. We want to know what kind of clothes to get. We want to know what kind of toys to get. We want to know what kind of paraphernalia. All of these things. These are all important things. And then we talk to some other parents and they say, well, we don't want to know. You know, we want to be surprised. I thought those guys were crazy. Now, not nearly as crazy as what I'm about to explain to you. There is a gender reveal food that parents are starting to get. So before it was just a cake. You cut into the cake, you find out if it's blue, you get a boy, girl, or it's pink. And that was it. And it, oh, what a great surprise. Now, there's a company that makes the gender reveal lasagna. It's by the Villa Italian Kitchen, a pizza and pasta chain that's in New Jersey. And they started offering the lasagna, and inside the lasagna is either blue or pink to indicate to you if you're going to have a boy or a girl.
Stop it.
Are you serious with this lasagna? That is so weird. It looks disgusting, by the way. It says it's basically, it features a cheese lasagna with a secret pink or blue interior. Then they give you garlic rolls, a choice of either garden, Caesar, or Greek salad. And then you buy it. It serves 12. For $140. What kind of crazy world do we live in? Maybe it's what's crazier? Wanting to get a colored lasagna, like a blue lasagna or a pink lasagna, or paying $140 for a tray lasagna? What kind of crazy world are we living in? Not that I'm buying Stouffer's every time for lasagna, but it's not $140 to make a lasagna. Come on now. I mean, couldn't you get a family friend to do something like that? And how hard is it to make the insides look pink or purple or blue, excuse me. How hard is it for blue or pink? So all of a sudden, this company out of New Jersey starts sending these press releases out. Probably the funniest part of this whole story, not that how crazy it is, but the funniest part of this whole story is that the way the journalists handle this is crazy. So here's one. It says, gets email. Villa Italian Kitchen is proud to announce the addition of an exciting new catering package, the world's first ever gender reveal lasagna. You know how this person responded? It says, block sender. Says, I just received a PR pitch for gender reveal lasagna. Hard pass. How would you ever know? And the picture they show, looks like they're having the greatest time in the world. Ooh! And it's just a small tray. I'm looking at this thing. I'm going to say that this saying that serves 12 is a lie. I'm looking at, I know my own eating habits. This is like a family of five, maybe. This feeds a five, not a 12. I don't know how you're going to be able to scrape this together for 12 people. Basically, it looks like if you're going to do regular size slices, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You probably get about 9 slices out of this. So I say, yeah, this serves about 5 people. You get 5, and then maybe 4 other people will have an extra slice or something like that after. What a crazy world we live in. Gender reveal lasagna. Come on now. All right, so earlier in the hour, we talked about the Covington Catholic High School families. They're ready to sue. And I had our friend from Minnesota who only heard the start of the story and didn't hear the follow-up. So that was something that took the internet by storm on Friday and Saturday. And then the follow-up and just how crazy things went after that. Now, earlier today on the Today Show, there was an interview with the person that is most associated with this. It's the one where the Native American activist walked up and started banging a drum in his face. And he's the one that was getting the most hate. He's the one that people were pointing out, this is what white privilege racism looks like. And already yelling those type of words out, slurring this guy and this young kid. And we're talking about, I think he's a 15 or 16 year old or whatever it is, before anyone even had a chance to look into the story, and boy, was everyone wrong. So he goes on the Today Show, and guess what the Today Show does? It's either one of two options. Today's show option number one. Oh, they treated the boy with respect and they actually were going to be good to him, or they treated him with disrespect and made him sound like he was still the problem. Which one do you think happened? We'll find out next. Place your bets. Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.